Well, welcome everyone to Fellowship, a place where we can be healed in our spirit, where we can be built up in our heart. Because God only has something to say, because God is a what God? A good God. How many times? I can't hear you guys.
All the time.
Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Well, it was wonderful in yesterday's fellowship. Vicki Barnhart called in to share God's word. And yesterday when Vicki called in, she called in about having a mindset towards God, if you remember. And that we need to control our minds because our thoughts determine our heart's actions. In this world, the world wants to flood our minds with all the garbage that they have. Not that some of the stuff isn't good, no. But there's nothing better than what God wants to tell us. But the question is, what kind of a mind are we using? How are we using our mind? Where is our mind at? It's very easily distracted, me included. And sometimes I got to grab my mind and say, wait a minute, what are you doing? And get focused back on the love of God. So this is why it's available to think righteously. And I've never heard it put that way until I received a letter from a dear friend that inspired me to work that theme or that particular subject. And that was to think righteously. It's tremendous how Vicki read one of the verses we're going to unfold tonight. And now I'd like to give you the sharing. So we're going to do something a little different tonight. And that is, I'm going to read an article that talks about this because I was doing research on thinking righteously. And let me tell you, all you got to do is go on the internet and you can find so many things. But we're talking about the good things. So I went through the internet and I was working things and I had books and this and that. And was working this righteous thinking. And I found this article that I wanted to share with you guys tonight. And when I get to the verse, you don't have to go there. I'm going to read it as we go along. But I trust that this will bless you because it was uplifting for me to see this. Because, again, how is El Segovia thinking throughout my day? When I'm at work, I'm thinking about work. When I'm at home, I'm thinking about wife and the dogs, but mainly my beautiful wife. And the other things that I think about, no particular order, is you guys. I think about, how are you doing? And I'll call some of you people to ask you, some of my brothers to ask you, is there something that you want to talk about? And so this last couple of weeks, I've been kind of restricted to the house because I was a little under the weather with my left knee, and I couldn't move around that much. But did I let that stop me? Heck no. I got on the phone and talked to people that I don't see anymore because they live on the other side of the United States, and we had a wonderful time talking, you know? And they caused me again to think righteously, right? What is thinking righteously? Well, we're going to look at a verse that we've read over and over and over again, but we're going to break it down. There's 8 things in that verse that helps us to think righteously, okay? So I'm going to get started with this particular article that I want to read and share with you guys, okay? It says, our Lord is very concerned with what we think about. Do you believe that? God's concerned with what you think about. Okay? Sadly, he is more likely to be concerned than we are. I'm not saying guilty to anyone. I'm just saying. God tells us that the thoughts of a man make him who he is. And that's true. Who you constantly keep in your head and stuff like that will manifest into your actions in life. Right? For as he thinks in his heart, so he is. And it says along those lines in Proverbs 23:7, excuse me, this is the ESV version, for he is like one who is inwardly calculating, eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. In other words, he says, yeah, it's on me, go ahead and eat. But he's kind of, wondering, this is going to cost me, you know, wow, you know, this is kind of costing me a little bit and stuff like that. But that's not how we should roll or how we should think, right? But that's how that person thinks. So that's how he is. The content of our daily thinking will identify us as righteous or wicked. Some people say, wicked, I'm not wicked. I'm not righteous, but I'm not wicked. God says, you're righteous or you're wicked, okay? Meaning it covers everything that is contrary to what God shows us on how to think. The thoughts of the righteous are right. Righteous, right. Okay, I got that one. But the counsels of the wicked are deceitful. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant. I'm going to go to Proverbs 12:5. It says, the thoughts of the righteous are just. The thoughts of the righteous are just. The counsels of the wicked are deceitful. And in Proverbs 15:26, it goes on to say that the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but gracious words are pure. Do you not know that you can speak pure words? You sure can. You sure can. It's in our makeup as sons and daughters of God. Jesus warns us that evil thoughts proceed from the heart and will defile a man. There's a record in Matthew chapter 15 that says, verse 18 says, but what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. Okay? For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, and a bunch of other junk, false witness, slander. These are what defiles a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not. So people are more into tradition and, oh, you need to do it this way and that way. Yet that same person is having these evil thoughts in their mind. That's what's going to defile that person. Not because you forgot to wash your hand, or you put the fork and the napkin on the left side instead of the right, or you use this kind of a glass. No, that's not what does it. It's what comes out of a man and woman's heart that tears you down, or, speaking of thinking righteously, builds you up to build others up. Okay? Peter told Simon the sorcerer that he should repent and pray to God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. And in Acts 8:22, it says, repent therefore of this wickedness of yours and pray to the Lord that, if possible, the intent of your heart may be forgiven you. The intent of your heart may be forgiven you. God is always willing to forgive us. He will forgive you and forget about the junk as far as the eat this from the whip. But you've got to start off by saying, Father, forgive me. Okay? I was going the wrong way. I know I shouldn't have, but I want to get back on the righteous track. Okay? Learning to control our thoughts is difficult. No one said it was easy. You know, especially when you have these temptations in your face that the adversary knows you're weak when it comes to that. It's kryptonite for us. Whatever that may be, you fill in the blank. I've got some weaknesses, but anyway, learning to control your mind, learning to control our thoughts is difficult, but required by God that we think righteously. That's what God wants you to do. It's not impossible. It's not hard. We just need to do some spring cleaning in our mind and get rid of the junk and fill it in with the love of God and the things He wants us to put in our mind. How can we discern between righteous and evil thinking? Good question. God's word is the key. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Where have we heard that one before? I'll tell you where. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living. God's word lives in us. It's alive. It's not some periodical like I do at the Postal Center. Next month it's a different story. The month after that, it changes. It means this. It means that. God's word is living. It's alive. And it's the same word, the God-breathed word, that these holy men of God wrote down so that the generations after, as far as like in today, can enjoy it, can take a great deal of wisdom from what God has told people years ago to the present and tomorrow until Jesus Christ comes back. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of the marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. That's what God's word does. I don't know if you guys have ever had to do this, but when I used to have a jacuzzi, there was a little strip they would give you, and you would dip it in the water to check the acidity and the alkaline levels in that water. That's how you check. If you never did that, you don't know. Okay, God's word is a tool that we use to check ourselves with. Okay, and you don't have to dip God's word in the pool, but if it does, it's still the same. Okay, so it teaches God's people His word to set their minds on the high things of the wisdom that is from where? Above. It says in Colossians 3:2, set your minds on the things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. Does that mean you don't listen to what people tell you, especially a boss? No. But you discern them with your heart, and you base them on the standard, which is God's word. That's the key, remember? But it also means that you don't want to keep on thinking worldly things and follow what the world says, especially when it crosses over what God says. That's the key in our lives. It's not hard. You don't have to have been to college to read the Bible and understand it. God didn't make it that way. He didn't set it up that way. He says, my word is easily entreated, right? Okay. And then in James 3:17 it says, but the wisdom from above is first pure. Pure. No contamination. Then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. When we talk about God's sincerity, it's not like our sincerity, because that's not a guarantee of truth, but God and His word is. If we can control our thoughts, we can control our lives, our desires, our choices, and our actions. Okay? What is between your ears is for you to control. You can say yes or no. You can say, Father, yes, world, no. We have the control. Don't let anyone say, oh, I was born that way. No, you weren't. No, you weren't. You get educated, you grow up, and you know that these things are within your control. Paul lists the characteristics of righteous thinking, which produces the spiritual fruit that pleases God and influences others for good. When you witness to somebody, meaning when you speak God's word to somebody, it's from God's word, it's the truth, you can only but expect good things. What's the opposite of that? Read somebody the newspaper. I remember way back when I was coming out of a supermarket, and this guy was out front trying to get new subscriptions for the newspaper. And he stopped me, and me being curious, I said, yeah. He goes, hey, can I get you subscribed to the paper? I said, I'll make you a deal. I haven't seen, he's got all these, the paper, the current paper right there stacked up. I said, I don't even look at them, but if there's 50% good news on the front page, I'll subscribe. And he goes, okay. I said, no, no. It reminds me of the verse where it's 10 people, 5 people. I said, no, scratch that. Let's do 30%. And then he goes, okay. I said, you know what? I'm going to make it to your advantage. If I can find one good article on the front page, I will subscribe. He says, okay. So we grabbed the paper and looked, and guess what? There wasn't one good thing on the front page. Murder, the prices of gas, that, all the way down the line. So he looked at me and goes, I said, I know you didn't write the paper. I'm telling you, I'm not subscribing either. Finally, brethren, and the verse I want to look at, you all will know that we're going to break down, is Philippians 4:8. I'm not going to read it because we're going to break it down here in a minute. These 8 characteristics are worthy of our close examination. One verse. They are not separate ideals, okay? They're not separate ideals. They are equal, overlapping qualities that characterize righteous, godly thinking. Okay? And you're going to see where God's going to say, think on these things. Okay? Righteous thinking. Okay, so that these characteristics describe our thoughts on a day-to-day basis. This is not a one-day deal and you're done. This is every day when we wake up to have this mindset of thinking righteously. Okay? So, I told you Philippians 4:8. If you want to go there, you can. But we're going to start with the first one I believe is true. Right? True. in the verse. Our God is true in all aspects. God does not lie. He is not a man that he should lie. God is the truth. You want the truth? Go to God. It says in 1 John 5:20, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding. When Jesus Christ was here on earth, he helped a lot of people, but he also helped their understanding to know who his Father was and why he did the things that he did. Okay? The rest of the verse goes on and says, so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true. In his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and, like I said a minute ago, eternal life. That's what we want. So, number one, again, is true. If we are his children, we should strive to be true in our lives. Our thoughts need to be directed toward things that are true so that we will always tell the truth and live a true and honorable life. The opposite idea is falsehood, things that are false, deceive and mislead. Some examples are false teachers, false doctrine, false apostles, false witnesses, and so on. Too many today want peace and unity without truth. Seek what is true and keep your thoughts centered on those true things. The other stuff, just take them off the table. Okay? What's the next one? Noble, correct? Number two, noble. Other versions use terms, meaning other Bibles, use terms as honest or honorable. These are things that are dignified and venerable and should be a joy to think about. Many in our world enjoy thinking about perversion, evil deeds, cheating others, and other such foolishness. It is hard to read a newspaper. Here we go, newspaper. It is hard to read a newspaper today without seeing stories about undignified activities of men. Women too, but of men, okay? They titillate the fleshly desires and appeal to a sordid nature, meaning a corrupt nature, a bad way of living. They appeal to those kind of people. There are things on the television from which we should turn our face away because they are disgraceful. Keep nobility in your thinking. Okay? Number three, just. Things that are just are fair and equitable. One of the great principles of the Bible is to do justly. That's how we treat one another. Okay? We don't try to get one leg up on them or, okay, well, this is what I'm going to do. No, no, no. It says in Micah 6:8, he has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. To think about how to be unfair, cheat, or undermine another is not right thinking. Our thoughts should always guide us to seek justice, so that our dealings with others will be ethical and above reproach. That's what we want. That's the standard we strive for. Number four, pure. Pure thinking seeks out those things that are chaste, clean, and innocent. Once again, much of what is offered by the modern media in movies, television, even radio, is impure in information and entertainment. We all know that. I can't go through my guide on TV without seeing, here comes Chucky, or you know, just down the list of this bad thing, that corrupt thing, this evil thing. You know what? Let me just get a ball game in there or something, you know? Yeah. Or now that I'm starting to learn how to figure out our smart TV, I can go to YouTube and pull up people like Joyce Myers, Victor Paul Werewolf, other sharing, and be edified by that. If I miss a game, it's not the end of the world. I'm going to hear about it at work anyway. Hey, guess who the Dodgers beat? Who? Okay, I'm good. So, once again, much of what I said is offered. Even radio has impure information and entertainment. It conjures up impure thoughts about people and things, whether intentionally or unintentionally. No wonder they call some stories dirty stories and some jokes dirty jokes. Dirty thinking leads to dirty living. Plain and simple. something we should all avoid to keep our thoughts, like it says, pure. Number five, lovely. Remember, these are qualities in that one verse. Lovely. Lovely things are attractive and pleasing to the mind. They are agreeable to the true principle of God, to think of God, His wonderful love. And the beautiful earth that He has created is a lovely thing. Who here can tell me when you look at the ocean, you go, oh, that's horrible? No. Or who here can stand on the view and look at the mountain and say, so? It's the majesty of God He's demonstrated. How about looking up in the sky and seeing the blue skies, or even when it rains? It's lovely. It's to help us in our lives, and it's just to give us more things to be thankful for. God could have set up this world where it was all made of steel and walls. That's it. And go to work. That's it. No, no. You can't go fishing. There's no lakes. You can't go grab your surfboard because there's no waves in the ocean. It's just dirt and steel walls. No, He made an earth for us to enjoy in the meantime. When Jesus comes back, oh my goodness, I can't imagine what that world's going to be like, but it's going to be for all eternity. See, we're going to be on vacation for the rest of our lives, throughout all eternity. Okay, to think of the gospel and the soul being saved is, again, a lovely thing. On the other hand, evil things are not lovely. No one would describe death, tragedy, divorce, fear, theft, or abuse as lovely things, would they? No, of course not. Yet, scenes and stories of such things bombard us daily. We know that. The news. Number one, hey, social media. That's why I'm not so sure that's the best thing that's ever come around, because social media is another way of getting this junk to us. Portably, on a cell phone, you pull it up. You've probably all done this. I want to find something constructive that's lovely, pure, just, on YouTube, boom. And what does it show? Some garbage right off the bat. Right off the bat. It doesn't show, God loves you. I wish. So I got to dig a little deeper. It can be a struggle to keep our minds thinking about the lovely things of God and His righteousness. That's lovely, number five. Number six, good report. These are things that are pleasing and attractive to a mind filled with God's Word. The NIV translates it admirable. God's standard is high, and those things that reach to it are worthy of good report. It would seem the things of bad report get all the attention. These days, no one seems to notice or care to report good deeds, you know? That's why maybe we come up with this term. I'm going to pat myself on the back. No one else will, but whatever. But let that person do a bad thing, and everyone will want to know all the details. How many have been there? Everyone, you know? Whether it's something that happened, a misfortune, accident on the freeway, we call those people rubberneckers, right? So they go, oh, let me slow down and see what's going on. What for? Keep on going. It has nothing to do with you. Let us be content to think on the things that have, again, good report. Okay? Number seven, virtue. Virtue is moral excellence, goodness, and strength. All the above characteristics are examples of moral excellence. True, noble, just, pure, lovely, and good report. Sadly, we are being desensitized to all the vice that is in the world. We must give diligent effort to protect our mind from the immoral gutter of the world. I'm not going to sit here and point fingers, but there's a couple of things that is more prominent in today that the world has desensitized everyone to think, oh no, we got to accept those people and this and that. Without me saying, I think you know what I'm talking about, but still yet, does it go against God's word? Yeah. Can those people be helped? Yes. But they think they're that way, and the world says, no, you got to, they're just the same as you. Well, whose standards are you looking at? And seek out the virtuous thoughts and actions that God would desire of us. Being virtuous will make you stand out as different, and that's okay. God calls us peculiar, right? They've only made one of each one of us in this world. The mold was broken, okay? So stamp your goodness on things that you do for God. That will far outlast the other stuff. And even if the world doesn't notice, God does. That's what's important. Which is a good thing. God wants courageous souls to stand up for what is virtuous and excellent in this world, allowing His light to shine through us. And finally, number 8, praiseworthy. Praiseworthy. Moral excellence is praiseworthy and worthy of meditation. Yet, sometimes these wonderful virtues are too often shamed or mocked as silly and old-fashioned. Well, shame on those people. Because it's not with God, and it shouldn't be with us. We need to speak up and praise these things that are truly praiseworthy, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of who? Christ. The gospel of Christ. We're not ashamed of that. It's praiseworthy. For it is the power of God unto salvation. That's what we're all here for. So let us give Him the praise He is so worthy of. Let us give that praise by our manner of life, as well as our speech. Okay? As well as our speech. We as God's children should take account of these things. Remember, we become what we think. We will be true, noble, just, pure, lovely, and of good report. If we think on these things, having these characteristics, we need to keep on the path of righteous thinking. Come, all of us, and put this on in our daily walk, knowing that that's the way to think. So here you have it from that one verse that God says, and think on these things. Okay? That's our mindset. All right? So those are the ingredients, if you will, to righteous thinking. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for this lesson, irregardless of how we find it, but the point being, Father, that we are researching in our own time Your Word and things of Your Word. There's many, many themes, many, many things that You have for us, but what is there better to do? In this particular case, Father, it's having righteous thinking, Father, which is a good thing, and Your Word discusses that. So I just pray for everyone's heart here and their mind so that they too can think righteously, starting with themselves being a son or daughter of You, Father. Thank You for Your help and for giving us all the things we need to think about in our daily walk, claiming Your love and shining His light. And it's in Jesus Christ's name that I pray. Amen. Amen.